Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft. And then you say, and I'm...
And I'm Alistair Beckett King.
Yes!
I'm it's back, him. Baby!
He's back, baby!
I'm back and I'm a baby!
How's it going?
It's going fine. Yeah, the show, the run has sold out, James. The run has completely
what?
Sold out. Put on a few extra shows, they haven't sold out yet. Come on, people, buy tickets. What's the story, James?
Speaking of big baby men, it's the Cernabis Giant. Okay then, Alistair, brace yourself. That is very braced.
Yep,
I'm braced.
That is tensed.
Yep.
Brace yourself slightly less. Unbrace.
Okay.
Sorry. That was actually quite good for my core.
Funny you should mention something that's got ripped abs, but
my core, is that the reference?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about a big lad that's a friend of mine. Have you heard?
Hold on. Chris Cantrell was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Now, is that who you're talking about?
No, a different giant.
a different big lad.
A different big guy. Have you heard of the Cernabis Giant?
I have heard of the Cernabis Giant. He's almost as well known as Chris Cantrell down our way.
Yes. You can picture him, can't you? He's a hill figure.
He's chalky white. His bits are on display. Again, I'm talking about the Cernabis Giant here, James.
He's got a big club in his hand and wide-eyed expression on his face, and he looks like he's going to cause damage. But back to the Cernabis Giant. That was a little joke there. I was actually describing the Cernabis Giant.
Do you want to describe it in more detail? Do you want me to describe it? What I think it looks like?
Yeah, if you could. Yes, please.
So it's, this is from memory. I don't know anything about it particularly. It's cut into the hillside. It's absolutely massive, maybe 100 meters long. It's a huge guy. He's got a club in one hand. And can we use the word priapic? Can we use the word priapic on the podcast? He is holding a club, but he is also pleased to see you.
Yes. Yeah. Is that a chalk outline on your midriff, or are you just pleased to see me?
I thought it was done in like the Victorian times as a rude joke. Is that not true?
The earliest records of the Cernabis Giant in Dorset.
Because of what, I bloody love the place.
Oh, I did. Sorry, I said that while you were taking a glass of water.
I was drinking. I'd come out of the water. He almost drowned because he was trying to do a call and response joke. It's tragic.
So there's no medieval documents mention him. Earliest reference. Oh, and I'm getting this information from friend of the show, Westwood and Simpson, The Law of the Land.
Nice.
The earliest mention is a record in 1694 that there was a payment of 3 shillings for repairing of ye giant.
For repairing ye giant. I'm here to repair the giant. Yeah, it's for a bit. It's going to cost you 3 shillings, I'm afraid. That's quite large.
Yeah. You want a club done and all? Both of them. Because what it is, it's certain areas of the country on chalk hills. If you cut the turf away, it reveals bright white stone, and you can basically create a big picture using that. But it does need to be cleaned quite regularly. The historian Ronald Hutton says that it was a political cartoon to mock Cromwell because he was nicknamed the English Hercules.
Hold on. That sounds like one of those nicknames you give yourself. The English Hercules. Oh, what a cruel political nickname, the English Hercules. Who calls him that?
Lord Holes, a fierce royalist.
Sorry, Lord Holes. Is that a different character or is that another nickname for Oliver Cromwell?
No, this is a royalist who Ronald Hutton thinks carved it as a sort of satire of Cromwell.
I see. I don't know, because the Sir Nabis Shine seems like a big party guy, whereas Cromwell was a Puritan. Like, if Cromwell had just not been absolutely awful, I feel like this country would be better now.
But you could say that about literally anyone.
I know, but we got rid of the monarchy, and then we replaced it with a guy who banned Christmas and didn't allow dancing.
And he was parading around like the English Hercules.
How do you mean, like the English Hercules?
I don't know. I don't know. People think that this image is meant to be of Hercules because he's got the club like Hercules had. His left hand, giant stage left, is kind of outstretched and looks sort of weirdly like he's waving at the moment. But they've done some tests on the soil around there, and there was some sort of cloak in his hands, which could have been Hercules's.
Like a lion's pelt?
Lion's pelt cloak, exactly. Yeah. Oh, do we win the prize for mentioning lion's pelt?
Yeah. Sorry, I had to jump in there just to let everybody know that I did know that Hercules would have had a lion's pelt.
Mm.
Just had to interrupt you there.
That's
clever.
Fine.
Sorry.
No.
It's a bit needy, isn't it?
No.
How long have we been doing? Someone in the Discord said that you seemed like the more accessible, approachable of the two of us. Do you think that's true? Am I inaccessible?
I think it's more that they fear that if they were to say something bad, you might like turn them into a toad or something. You've got a wizardly vibe.
Yeah, but if I mean, yes, you don't. Maybe, but you'd be my wizard's assistant. You'd be the one trolling the lands, knocking on doors, trying to find maidens. I don't know. What do wizards want?
What do wizards want these days?
Ooh, what do wizards want? What wizards want? A Mel Gibson film.
Look, as they point out in the lore of the land, the absence of earlier written references is not conclusive. For certain other great landmarks, including Stonehenge, are only very patchily recorded.
What? No one mentioned Stonehenge?
No one mentions it that much.
Really?
Yes.
Stonehenge is there, and everyone's like, not bothered. Like 19 books about how you can make an ointment out of eggs and placenta to cure back pain, but nothing about Stonehenge.
It is thought to be a representation of Hercules from around AD 200.
Heracles. Oh, so it's Hercules, after all.
So it is, after all, Hercules.
Oh.
And the support for that date comes from resistivity soil testing.
Sorry?
Resistivity soil testing.
I heard you. I just wanted to hear you say it again. Resistivity soil testing.
I'm guessing it was invented by David Bowie. resistivity soil testing. When he was played by Harry H. Corbett.
The guy who works in the Crookham power station, right? That guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. They did this testing in the 1960s. And yeah, that's when they kind of worked out that there was something hanging from his arm.
The golden age of hippie science.
It says here, and I don't need to tell you this, a silt luminosity test, as they did in Uffington, would settle the argument.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
From the very start, I've been saying, just do a silt luminosity test.
You presume that was one of my categories. That's why you didn't want to spoil it.
You're telling me they haven't done a silt luminosity test?
No, not like they've done at Uffington.
Schoolboy era.
Oh, fun fact. There was a drawing in 1764, and at that point, it had a navel.
A belly button.
A belly button. And its little Sir Nabis giant was a little smaller than it is now.
So it got bigger over time?
Yes, it has grown.
I mean, that can happen, but unusual in cases like this.
Yes, because it's both shown and grown. Normally it's, you know, it's a one or t'other.
Do we know if he clicked the links on his spam emails about that issue? If those work, that's a game changer.
I'm going to read this straight from Lore of the Land. This majestic penis has inspired a good deal of ribald humour. Do you think we could put that in? Majestic?
Yeah. You can say penis. We're all grown-ups, except for the children that listen.
Unsurprisingly, there's a lot of fertility myths to do with this.
Do people realise how big it is? The whole thing. I don't mean just the... I mean the whole thing. Like, you can go and sit on just that part, right?
Yes, and people did more than just sit on that part. Yeah, no, that was a place, if you wanted to guarantee that you would have a baby, that you would, you know, do the necessary.
When you're sitting on the appendage of the Sir Nabis giant and he turns to you and gives you this look.
Exactly.
You know, it's on.
And women and girls would walk around it. The whole thing, I think. The whole giant.
Right.
The whole giant person in order to, you know, increase fertility.
To increase fertility.
Yes. Or to get a husband, to keep a true love, or to have children.
I can see why that would work, because if you see someone who's gone out to a drawing of a giant's willy, you sort of think...
She's probably up for it.
Yeah. I can see why people would find their way through the layers of subtext there.
Mm. You don't need a silt luminosity test to work that out.
Oh, you do not. Which verse of Cher's song, It's In His Kiss, is that? Is it in a silt luminosity test? Oh, no, that's not the way.
Is it in his perambulation around the frame of a giant's part? Oh, yes, that's the way. The one. By the way, have you looked at the picture recently? I always forget the eyebrows.
No, it hasn't got eyebrows. It's like me, isn't it?
No, it's got eyebrows and it looks surprised. For obvious reasons, to have been discovered.
Oh. you're absolutely right. It's got the face of a grey, of an alien.
Mm.
Who's just been caught.
He looks like he sort of just opened the door to, someone knocking out of hours.
He looks like the guy who falls out of the building in RoboCop, but naked. You know, the guy with the really long arms. Is that RoboCop?
I don't think anyone falls out of a building in RoboCop unless they've been shot by Ed 209. Do you mean the guy that falls into the toxic waste and then gets run over?
There's a guy, he falls out, but it's animated. It's a little model of him, but they did it on too wide-angular lens, so it looks like his arms and legs are giant.
Just his arms and legs? Does look like this guy, then. There's a part missing.
But maybe it's just a wide-angle lens, is what I'm saying.
A wide-angle field. He's got nipples as well, and they look, they're exactly the same as his eyes.
Yeah, and they're quite lopsided. I mean, not to body shame him, but quite not very symmetrical.
No, I suppose that's what happens when you're drawn on the side of a hill.
Mm.
One of the origin stories is that it was a giant that was killed, and then they made a chalk outline kind of as a warning.
like a crime scene.
Or maybe a giant detective was investigating it.
Yeah, I don't think the detectives are like, I don't think it's necessary to do the whole, to do that part. Okay, so you've started, so okay.
Don't worry about the navel.
So when you say it used to have a navel, do you think the lower element has been extended to reach the navel and they used to be separate? Is that what it is?
Yes, yes, I believe so.
So the very top of the hoo-ha is really the navel, the belly button.
Yeah.
I see. That's an embarrassing mistake to have made.
That what they were when they were cleaning it 1 year, they've just gone, whoops. Okay, well, we're sticking with it then.
I think this very similar thing happened when they were drawing the white lines onto the pitch in my school when they were painting those on. You just make a mistake. And you're like, okay, that's the shape of the football field now.
Oh, right, okay. Not that your football pitch had a large part.
We would have loved that. That would have been a hoot. It's surrounded by a pentagon. I didn't know that. I'm looking at the pictures and you can see there's a pentagon around it.
In Janet and Colin Board's Mysterious Britain, which is from...
Janet Board, Colin Board.
The copy I have is signed May 1977 by its previous owner. It was originally published in 72. This edition is 77. It has an old picture of the big lad.
Mm-hmm.
He has a fence around him. So that pentagon is kind of marked out as a fence.
I see. So that's what I'm seeing. The pentagon's just a fence. So that's probably more modern. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. Maybe like the farmer's like, I want to use as much of this field as possible. Let's fence this guy in. I don't want any other bits growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the top of the hill, there is evidence of what looks like some sort of like fort or something from the past. But there's loads of these big lads around and about the country. There's a really good one called Gog Magog that's on the ramparts of Wandlebury Camp near Cambridge.
Wandlebury Camp?
Wandlebury Camp, yes.
Gog and Magog are two famous folkloric giants, right?
Yes, but they may be one giant called Gog Magog.
Oh, right.
There's Magog, And there, but the site is now overgrown, basically. This is a picture from the 50s or something.
So is Gog Magog like Bond, James Bond? And people thought that there were two guys, Bond and James Bond.
You know what? I don't know.
The good thing about our podcast is we're not afraid to admit when we don't know something.
Yes.
I think, which is all the time.
Yeah. So there's the Uffington horse. Which, can you picture that one? That looks like a very stylized logo. It looks like what the BT logo became for a bit in the 90s or 2000s. Yes. Some people think it might be a dragon. I want to do some more on this specifically because there's the very interesting Wayland's Smithy down there.
Wayland Smithers?
Which I think is the inspiration for the name of the Simpsons character.
Because
it's definitely older than the Simpsons. The Simpsons is old, sure. But Wayland Smithy has a few thousand years on it.
On the subject of the Simpsons, did they do a giant Homer Simpson holding a donut next to it?
What, on Wayland Smithy?
No, next to the Sir Nabis giant.
Oh, did they?
Well, I'm Googling it and there seem to be pictures of a big Homer Simpson that has upset some pagans.
Wow, looking at it on this version of the picture as well, it's quite defined, like the... It's not just like a little bit of an outline of the chalk and it's basically flat. Like they've really worn a path around the lower part.
And it's quite 3D that he's got a nose. Yeah, apparently in 2007, to promote the Simpsons film, they put Homer Simpson in the field next door. According to The Guardian, pagans have promised to conjure some rain magic to erase a figure of Homer Simpson. Let's see them do that in England.
There's a few horses that look like horses that are a bit boring. Near me, there's a couple, actually. There's a cross on a hill near Princess Visva, which I can only say, in, again, the style of David Bowie being played by Ari H. Corbett, Princess Visva. There's another one, which is on a hill on the Chilterns, which I think from West Wickham, you can see it, and it lines up with the top of a church, and it's basically... They made a steeple for the church. Maybe they had like the abbot was coming round and they wanted to impress him that their church had a steeple. Or maybe they'd been given a load of money to build a steeple, but they'd, squandered it on trying to move the church or something, or trying to grow the church with manure. And so they got the abbot to come round, but only look at the church from one angle, where they'd cut out a triangle on the hill so it looked like the church had a steeple. I don't know.
That is very impressive. That's quite a David Copperfield move, doing an outdoor magic trick like that.
But don't look at it from any other angle, Abbott. Otherwise, we're rumbled. There is a big red horse, or there was a red horse, the Red Horse of Tyso, near Banbury, because it's got red soil rather than chalk, which you can't see today. And it may have been cut in 1461 to commemorate the Earl of Warwick's horse. However, they looked into it and they discovered not just a horse, but there was also a human figure with a whip, a bird, maybe a goose, and another animal that was either a horse, a dragon, or a sun lion.
What's a sun lion?
I don't know. I forgot to look it up. And that man is 160 feet tall. So nearly as big as Sir Nabis. He's 180. I don't know if that's taken into account his big club, the big club in his hand. And thinking about these giants and big horses and the other sort of prehistoric things that are around, I started looking into ley lines, or as the French call them, the lines. I started looking at it in order to do that joke.
Okay. Have you got anything else to say about them, or did you bring them up just for that joke?
No, I've got a couple of things to say about it. I've got this this pamphlet. It's a quarterly publication called Ley Lines.
Quarterly, because Ley Line news updates that quickly that you need four updates a year.
Yeah. This one's called The Lie of the Land by Simon Morton, and it's genuinely really good. He's a writer and cartoonist. And it just looks really cool. He does this thing where he sort of draws over old pictures and stuff. And then it's got excerpts from the book by Alfred Watkins, who was the guy who, it turns out, in the 1920s is when ley lines were invented, basically. Yeah, or the idea of ley lines was invented.
Because there's no such thing as ley lines. Sorry, I feel like I'm maybe being overly sceptical here.
Well, it depends what you think they are.
Am I right in thinking he thought they were roads, like trade routes, rather than magical power axes?
Some people nowadays, sure, they think they're either navigation for UFOs or a power source for UFOs.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But I think that says more about the people that have gotten into ley lines than what ley lines are. Mm. I think the idea that they are basically a navigation system of getting around the country, it kind of makes sense. Because in the past, you wouldn't have had a compass. You would have had to judge things by the sun. And we live in England. You're going to need a little bit more help there.
Yeah,
mate.
Fair enough. I concede.
In thinking about that, it's basically made me realise that Stonehenge is in essence just a big motorway services.
Mm.
Presumably one of the better ones, like a Norton Keynes.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't done much research on it, but I like the idea that it is basically old paths, because we still use some of the old paths, like Roman roads are still fully in use.
Yes, that's true, yeah, I have to admit.
That brings me back to another big lad, the Long Man of Wilmington. Have you heard of this guy?
No, I haven't.
He kind of looks like he's opening his curtains. He's a figure of a man, and he's holding two sticks.
Yes, yeah.
He's in the Sussex Downs.
Yep, I've Googled him. I do know this guy.
He's even bigger. He's like about 50 feet bigger than Cern Abbas. The earliest recording of this is from 1710, and he's never had a face.
Not even eyebrows, this one.
Again, from the lore of the land, friend of the show. In particular, the long man, unlike his counterpart at Cern Abbas, probably never had a phallus.
Oh.
And the next paragraph starts, dating the long man will remain problematic, which I think...
Not necessarily. It depends what you're interested in, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
I have to say, his stance, the way he has his arms, you know, like, they could be curtains, they could be two sides of a door frame. It's got a real come up and see me sometime vibe.
And I mean, again, I know you're everyone listening to this is screaming this at their audio devices. But until the technique of optical stimulated luminescence used at Uffington has been used on this, we can't know how old it is.
Why is Uffington so far ahead of the rest?
Because the Simpsons money. That sweet, sweet Simpsons money. Yeah. They licensed Wayland Smithers. There are some splinters of crushed pottery that may be broken Roman tiles, which, to be fair, as they point out, that could have happened at any point from Roman times to medieval times.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's impossible for a Roman tile to be broken today either.
I know, but you'd think that belongs in a museum.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. We'd be less likely to smash it to pieces than our medieval ancestors.
To draw a big CMB on a hill figure.
Mm.
I think as well, the long, like, when you look at Cerne Abbas, it really looks like that was put on afterwards by some school kids.
Mm-hmm. Just lucky it wasn't on his forehead.
Oh, speaking of which, though, going back to the Long Man of Wilmington, there is evidence that he had some sort of horned helmet.
Oh.
There's a sketch from 1710 that shows some kind of headgear jutting out, and recessivity tests of the area in recent years have revealed a curled line above the head and perhaps a dotted line emanating from its tip. We don't know. They haven't done the optical simulated luminescence tests yet.
No, they haven't. They haven't done it.
Again, one of the origin myths is that it is, there was a big giant that lived there that got killed and they drew around it.
Of course, yeah, again.
Either blow the case wide open or warn other giants. Do you want to know how he might have died, the giant?
How did the giant die?
Well, some say he tripped over his feet on the hill and just fell over and broke his neck.
Oh, so when we're saying warning other giants, sort of in a mind yourself kind of a way, rather than in a see how we treat giants down our way kind of warning.
Trip hazard. Well, one's that a shepherd flung his lunch of bread and cheese, which was so hard that it killed the giant. But the most popular story is there were two giants and they flung huge boulders at each other. And in the end, the long man was killed.
Right.
And as they point out in Lore of the Land, since there were in fact no boulders on either hill, the storytellers claimed that various old quarries in the area were craters left by these missiles. There might be a treasure buried somewhere around there. And some say...
I think I know what part I would dig at first.
There is the body of a Roman soldier in gold armor in a gold coffin buried underneath it.
Really? Like, definitely? Have we done optical resonance imaging? Have we done silt luminance tests?
The silt luminosity tests are yet to be carried out.
Well, then how can we say anything with confidence?
I know. They're just doing the basic resistivity soil testing.
Ugh. What is this, 1508?
Yeah. So those are the story of the Sir Nabus giant in Dorset and his big friends.
And his large mates.
Mm.
Very good. I feel bad for immediately coming down on you like a ton of bricks as soon as you mentioned ley lines.
No, well, back to ley lines, actually.
Oh.
See, the Long Man of Wilmington is at the base of one long ley line that goes all the way to, like, something on the coast in Wales. And Alfred Watkins, the guy, have you ever heard of a Hodimandod or a Dodman?
I think I've heard of, like, a Hodmadod.
Oh, Hodmadod. This, again, links back into the earlier episode of Norfolk. The Norfolk, sort it out. It's Norfolk dialect for a snail.
Yes, a Hodmadod was a snail. Yes, I've mentioned it on the podcast before.
Yes, a Doddy Man. There's a song, Doddy Man, put out your horn. Here comes a thief to steal your corn. And a Dodman or Dudman was a travelling cloth seller who carried it on his back. And that is what they thought gave the name to snail, to Dodman as a snail thing. Ah. There was a guy called Dudman.
Oh, so like your clothes, we would still say are your duds these days, wouldn't we?
You do, actually.
And so someone who's holding all the clothes is like, hold my duds, hold my dud.
So Alfred Watkins thought that doddery and doddering came from the same root as Dodman, and a snail doesn't really dodder, does it? It just goes slowly.
Yeah, you rarely see a wobbly snail.
But Alfred Watkins thought it was because a Dodman was a prehistoric surveyor. Snails have two horns, which resemble the surveyor's two rods, and they would kind of dodder and dodge around when they're trying to line up their sticks.
Right.
And he thought that the Long Man of Wilmington was a surveyor. Those things he's holding are two sticks.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite... If he hasn't just made all of that up, that's quite good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he made up ley lines.
But he did make it all up. That he did make it up, yeah. He made it up. But it's still quite good. Good work.
Yeah, not bad. As long as it's not, you know, an aliens thing. They wouldn't need rural England really, really well mapped. So, yeah, those are the stories of the Sir Nabus giant and his big old friends.
And his big old friend.
Yeah, big friend.
Very nice. Well done, James.
Well done, you.
I enjoyed that.
So you ready to score?
Yeah, I can't believe you'd ask me if I'm ready to score when you haven't even done the silt luminosity assessment.
Oh, well, but I'm all over the resistivity soil testing.
Resistivity soil testing. Okay, all right.
But no,
okay.
I've not done my silt luminosity tests
yet. All right. Well, while we await the results of the silt luminosity test, let's just draw a big chalk outline around that giant we killed and do the scores.
First up, names?
Sir Nabus, Wayland Smithers, the Long Man of Wilmington, Hodmadod.
Hodmadod.
A word that I have definitely got points for in the past. So there's no reason
Doddy Man.
You can't do that. Doddy Man.
Mm.
Ken Dodd.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Or Ken Clothes in modern English.
Janet and Colin Board's Mysterious Britain.
Something about them. I just get a really good vibe from Janet and Colin Board. Brother and sisters or husband and wife? They've just got an interesting dynamic.
I've got the Atlas of Magical Britain by them as well, which is actually a former book from the Durham County Library.
Fancy that. And that's a really good book title, the Atlas of Magical Britain.
I'm trying to just skim over the introduction to see if it gives an idea of their status. It's complicated.
Sorry, are you wondering if Janet's single?
Colin.
Tell you what, if you're listening, Colin or Janet, and if either of you are interested, we'll meet you out on the end of the Sir Nabus Giants member.
just like old times. And of course, naming wise, the silt luminosity test.
Okay, yeah, no, the silt luminosity test. Just absolutely one of the best prog rock bands.
If you made it onto the silt luminosity test as a band, you knew you'd broken through. Of course, if you ended up on the sissivity soil testing, you were nothing. The Uffington White Horse. The Red Horse of Tyso.
Not great, but okay.
Not great.
I think it's a three. Yeah. A high three, but a three.
A category the second, supernatural.
I think it's low because I don't believe in ley lines. And
you don't believe that ley lines are magical. As if that's a different. You don't believe there even is a thing.
I don't believe they A, exist, or B, are magical. They don't have folkloric vibes to me. They're too modern.
Is it 100 years old?
Yeah, what's that? 100 years, nothing.
That is nothing.
That's rubbish.
As with Stonehenge.
Stenge.
Why would you write about a road? Why would that be a thing? It's just a road.
Mm.
It's just there. It's part of the landscape in a way. But fine. That doesn't bode well for me later on.
when you try the category, mega supernatural.
But supernatural, giants, right?
Okay, yeah, all right, yes. So we've got two legends of giants that didn't exist. Oh, and then there's Gog Magog, / Gog and Magog, so potentially two there. So we've got maybe three and a half giants.
Perhaps it's sympathetic magic.
What did you say?
Sympathetic magic.
Hello, I'm interested. Carry on.
That if you, trace your way around a giant's, you might have a baby.
You know what? You're right. It is sympathetic magic.
Yes.
All right.
Goodness.
All right. It's a three.
Yes. Okay. Great.
It started off smaller and it got bigger.
That's the way we roll. Category the third, the lines, as the French would have it.
Doing that joke again. Because they're made up of lines in the chalk.
Yep.
And we have ley lines.
Yeah.
And really, I think when it comes to Colin and Janet, I think we've crossed a line.
A little bit, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we've gone too far.
If we leave that bit in. The lines of the Sir Nabus are ever-changing.
They
not
are,
just
yeah,
downstairs,
yeah.
But also there are lines, hidden lines, underneath the surface where his jacket that he's holding might be.
The lion's pelt.
There's the Long Man of Wilmington's missing horn from his head.
Which is not his only missing horn. And
the whole Red Horse of Tyso, yeah.
The rider and the pigeon and, yeah, everyone's missing.
Sun lion.
The sun lion.
Which kind of sounds like I'm saying sun line.
Okay, that's a
if I wasn't very
stretch.
Well.
And what does a little Hodmadod leave behind itself, if not a little glistening line, a silvery line?
Yeah, it's gross.
All right, I think it's four out of five.
Is that saliva then?
Well, that is their mouths, isn't it? They walk on their feet / mouth. So I guess it's
just dribble.
I guess it's dribble.
That's gross. Quite turn my stomach. But I'm taking the four.
It's a four, yeah.
Final category. He's a big lad, isn't he?
He was a big lad.
He's a big lad, but he's out of shape now.
He's constantly changing shape. Yeah, no, there's several big lads in this.
And that's not including the big lad that must have drawn the chalk outline from, CSI CERN.
Yeah. Imagine the size of the bit of chalk used.
Mm.
And there's Chris Cantrell, of course, who was referenced earlier.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure he'll love us describing him as a big lad.
He's a top lad.
Difficult to pin down. And he really swears a lot when you record it.
He does swear a lot. Yeah. He
boy,
will
oh boy.
He will disrespect your podcast.
The one rule.
Chris, the one thing we asked was that you respect the podcast.
And kind of you implicitly as well, but I'm guessing you've not listened to the episode yet.
Me? No. Wait. What did he say about me?
Just stuff about you being just a time-traveling vampire.
But were there insults as well?
I think something like your time machine was powered by dodos.
Oh, that's why he was tweeting pictures of dodos at me.
Yes.
Assuming that I had heard the episode. Right.
Mm, mm.
Well, joke's on you, Chris. I had no idea what that meant.
That like was just polite.
Just a politeness like, yeah. Well, I'm a little bit angry at Chris now, and I'm going to try and channel that into scores. I think it's a 5 out of 5.
Yes.
They really are big lads. One particularly big lad.
Oh, just a fun little anecdote as well, before I forget. Talking of dead giants, just in the course of reading about dead giants, there's like an aside that mentions there was one giant that lost a hammer throwing contest and died of disappointment. Well, I think we all learned quite a lot there, Alistair.
We recorded this several weeks ago, so I have no recollection of anything that happened.
Yeah, and I'm only halfway through the edit, so I haven't worked out what we learned yet. But when you scratch the surface, there's a lot of big, weird things there.
Very good.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
Yeah, very clever.
Well, I'm going to treat you as a guest.
Oh, yep.
Have you got anything to plug?
I might have plugged my show at the start of the show.
Have you got anything coming up in the new year?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for teeing that up. Yes, actually. I've got a small tour of the UK in
2023.
Oh, and please listen to my new podcast, Magic Fairies in a Town. I can't remember what it's called.
Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. Whoa. Welcome to Lawmen. A podcast about obscure curiosities. No.
Flipping heck, James.
Hi, I'm Alistair Beckett King, comedian and aristocratic time traveller, and I want to tell you about Fairy World and Magic Town. It's a new podcast all about folklore, but without any jokes or slanderous remarks, from me and my co-host, Neil Iron.